It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already July 21st and 22nd. Before we get to our guest today, I just want to put a big shout out and big thanks to all of my running friends, both locally and national, that ran up Loon Mountain on Sunday, July 8th, and it was awfully hot. And those of you that have ever done that race, you literally run up Upper Walking Boss, which is a double black diamond. So my only goal was to finish ahead of the first woman finisher, and in the spirit of transparency, they started 1 hour and 15 minutes after the men, and I barely accomplished that, but I did it. And last weekend, we had our nice run in Londonderry called the Boot, Scoot, and Boogie, and a lot of my running friends showed up for that. So with that, though, I'd like to turn now to a very important topic. With me is former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice John Broderick, retired Major Russ Conti, and John Stevens, who is on the Board of Trustees of the of the Community College System of New Hampshire. And we've had John on before. We've had both Johns on before, one on the mental health and John Stevens talking about the Halleas Symposium. So let's start with John Stevens in your role at the Board of Trustees. And by the way, my VP of HR, Connie Roy Jaskowski, says hello, John.
Well, hi back.
And she is really great. And this year, of course, the symposium, this is the third annual symposium, is going to be held at UNH on August 9th. So let's get into the specifics, and then we'll circle back to Justice Broderick and Major Conti.
Tom, let me first say I want to thank you for hosting us for the third time. This is, as you said, the third annual Halleas Symposium. Each of these symposiums has been incredibly important to the significance of education at the higher level here in New Hampshire, and this year is particularly no different. This year's title is Community of Care, Promoting Mental Health Awareness in Higher Education. It's slated for August 9th, beginning at 7:30 on the UNH campus at the Memorial Building in the Granite State Room, and we are looking at a full capacity, but still there are seats available, and the website is available for registration. If people will go to www.ccsnh.edu/Halleas, H-A-L-I-A-S, registration remains open.
So this year it's at UNH. I really want to stress that to the listening audience because, of course, the last couple of years it's been at the NHGI campus right across the street from Northeast Delta Dental. And 2 years ago when you had the young woman who was affected by the Virginia Tech tragedy. I mean, she was so compelling. And of course, it was the event was a lot more about than this, but it certainly brought the mental health component into it. And of course, as you know, I've been hanging around with Justice Broderick for 2 or 3 years, and he holds the record. He beat Silvio Dupuy for, came into my office, talked about change direction and knowing the five signs, and within I think it was 37 seconds I was writing out a check, or Delta was, for $10,000. So he holds the world record because it's such a compelling topic. So John, and then I'll get to Major Conti, can you just talk a little bit about the campaign to change direction in New Hampshire and the five signs?
Sure, Tom, and happy to be here and happy to be part of the conference that's coming up on August 9th. The campaign to change direction has been existing up here for about 2.5 years now, and it was the brainchild of a child psychologist in Maryland. Her name is Barbara Van Dalen. More recently, it was supplemented with the REACT component of the campaign, which comes from our Department of Education and Dartmouth-Hitchcock. But the campaign is pretty simple. The goal of the campaign is to inform people about the five most common signs of mental illness, something for most of my life people didn't talk about. And by doing that and starting a different conversation without judgment or stigma, maybe people will come forward and start dealing with it in a way that historically we never have. And so I've been traveling around the state for the last 24 months. I've spoken apparently 250 times. I've spoken to over 55,000 people live and in person. half of those are high school students, sometimes middle school students, Tom. And I would just say this. You know, the old Apollo 13 film, the famous line from that movie was, Houston, we have a problem. If the people of New Hampshire were with me in those high school gyms and auditoriums after I speak, and were there when kids approach me, I'm their grandfather, and share with me, they would think what I think, which is, Houston, we have a problem, and we better start dealing with it. The good news is, this generation, Tom, I love these kids. They are so much less judgmental than I was growing up, and they're really smart, but they are still living in a world where mental illness, mental health is not talked about by a lot of adults very freely. And sometimes these kids say to me, I'm ashamed, my parents are ashamed, or my parents don't believe in mental illness. And it's coming from a good place. Parents aren't trying to be mean-spirited, but they learned you didn't talk about it, you didn't want to find it because that seemed hopeless. It's not hopeless. And so I think every day that I'm able to do that is a gift. And we've had some real support. Dartmouth Hitchcock's been a big player. Hospitals have been big. But my favorite supporter is sitting next to me, Tom Raphael. And he gave me money so quickly. That's who he is. And beyond that, he's been a champion. He did more than write a check. And today's another example of it. So I appreciate it, Tom.
Well, John, thanks for your courage. And one of the things when I get to introduce John at different events, one of the things I say, here's the man that's been the Chief Justice of the New Hampshire Supreme Court, but says unequivocally that the most important work he's doing is on the Change Direction program. So he and I have a little standing thing. It's got to be done organically. And until adults talk about mental health in the same way they would talk about, I'm going to get my meniscus repaired in 2 weeks, until we get to that point, it's going to be a journey, you know, without a finish line. And the other anecdote that I like to use, and I steal shamelessly from John, is that, you know, if someone has diabetes, you know, you would never say, snap out of it, you know, but if someone has revealed a mental health issue, I think, you know, we've historically said, you know, you got to snap out of it. And of course, that's not appropriate. So that's a nice segue to Major Russ Conti. So you're on the board of NAMI. So tell us about the history of NAMI in New Hampshire and how, Major, you got involved with NAMI.
Sure. First off, thanks for having me here, Tom, and it's great to be here with the Justice and John and celebrating, really, what the Nahalia Symposium is all about. You know, NAMI has been around since the late 70s and was started at very grassroots. It's grown into a national organization now. I am lucky enough to be on the board of directors and I'm currently the secretary for NAMI New Hampshire. And I think the thing that is most significant on the National Alliance on Mental Illness is it ties together many of the things we've already talked about, and not only community involvement, but that ability to be a voice for people that suffer from mental illness and to reduce that stigma that we know is apparent and that holds people up from getting the help that they need. And also, lastly, for me, it's been an opportunity really to connect dots with 33 years in the state police. I have a lot of anecdotal information and I've seen a lot of situations where it definitely involved people that were in crisis. And now to be able to come back from another angle, take the experiences that I've had professionally and kind of fit them with what is community and, in this case, you know, campus resources is a thrill, and to see what the Justice has done. So realistically, it is everything that's been said already, and it is that ability to reduce stigma. It is that ability to look at this from any other injury. And I think the most important thing that everyone has to realize is that it is something that people recover from every day. There is so many people that have been affected by mental illness and now are a voice for others. And the incidence is so very, very high for all of us to be affected at some point in our lives by some form of mental illness, and to be able to recover from it and to know how that feels and what it's like to be supported and what it's like to go through the recovery process. I think those are life-altering events. And I think the best part of knowing the five signs is it breaks it down to be very simple. Everyone knows, you know, what makes you different, and when you're going through a crisis, how you change. And I think the best thing we can do for each other is just look out and be aware of each other, be aware of family members and friends, because there is help out there. And NAMI as an organization has a Connect program to prevent suicide, which is a tremendous effect on people, and the reverberative effect is tremendous and great. But I think those resources do exist, and they exist at the family level. And I think that's the thing that's most significant with NAMI.
You have certainly connected the dots there. And I was thinking, John Broderick, that, you know, we did the conference on mental health on March 28th, and we've been doing a lot of follow-up since then. And one of the things that came out on the post-conference survey was this whole stigma angle and what we can do about it. And one of the things I try to do at Northeast Delta Dental is get our management team comfortable talking about it in the same way. I always say, like, if your employer approached you and said, you know, I've got to take the next 2 weeks off because I'm having meniscus surgery, that's a very comfortable conversation. But if they said, I'm having some mental health issues, or my wife or husband is, that's much more awkward, or can be, and we really want to get at that. So you're right on target. And John and I recently spoke also at the New Hampshire Police Association, and that whole how mental health is connected to so much of the violence and so forth, you know, that they see. And one of the things they requested was a rack card with all the resources such as NAMI. So we are working on that. In a few seconds we have before the first commercial break, let's get back to you, John Stevens. Tell us again the date and who are some of the speakers beyond Justice Broderick.
Well, the date is August 9th. It's going to be conducted at the University of New Hampshire in the Memorial Building. The main reason why we moved it this year is that this significance of this symposium has really required a larger venue to attract more people for attendance. So we're certainly looking forward to that. One of the interesting things that was said here in regards to mental illness and how it affects society and how it affects, in particular, Russ's situation as far as law enforcement itself, is that this particular symposium will be broken down this year into two basic segments. There will be two keynote speakers. Certainly the morning keynote will be Chief Justice Broderick, but the afternoon keynote is an individual by the name of Sergeant Troy Anderson from the Connecticut State Police, who will be talking about managing long and short-term mental health issues post-Sandy Hook.
Perfect.
And
so,
that will be significant.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm honored this weekend, Saturday, July 21st, and Sunday, June 22nd, to be with Justice John Broderick, Major Russ Conte, and John Stevens, who's on the Board of Trustees of the Community College System. And John was talking about the Halea Symposium, which this year will be at UNH, August 9th. I've been the last 2 years. It's a very compelling program. This year, it's so compelling and so much bigger now that we're actually having at UNH. So my listening fellowship, it's not at NHTI, it's at UNH. It's August 9th. So you were talking about, you know, Chief Justice will do the keynote in the morning, and then and how we have a second speaker, Troy, in the afternoon. So tell us how that all fits together, John Stevens.
Well, because of having the ability to hold this symposium at UNH, it gives us a little bit more room to do different things. And what we have done is not only is the keynotes been scheduled for the symposium, but we have two other breakouts that will be taking place. One will be offered by Warren Perry, who is the Deputy Adjutant General here in New Hampshire, which will be integrating veterans into the university setting. And the other breakout will be provided by Dr. Elisa Bolton from UNH, who is the Associate Director of Training for Psychological and Counseling Services at UNH. And both of these presentations will be, again, very important as to the message that we want to convey.
Super. Now, Justice Broderick, I know you've put at least 100,000 miles on your car for the past couple of years, going to just about every school district, and also you've done it. We know this is multi-level, so you've also made presentations to the business community, because CEOs should understand this. Any business leader should understand that, you know, statistically, you know, 20% of your employees are going to be dealing with these issues. And we hear the real bad ones, but you also need to be aware of what I call sort of underemployment, meaning the person shows up to work but is, you know, is distracted because of either his or her own issue or, the spouse at home. So when you've spoken to the kids, I mean, like you say, you use this very affectionately. They treat you like they're your grandfather, but they open up. And How do you see that happening on the adult level too? Do you think before we go to our reward, John, that meniscus surgery and mental health can be said in the same breath?
You know something, I'm optimistic, Tom, because I think the time is now. People are talking about it more. People are seeing it for what it is. Give you a couple of examples. New Hampshire, which was just voted the best place in America to raise a child and have a family, and it's a great state, so we can be proud of that. But we are also the ranked third in opioid abuse in the United States on a per capita basis. Recent study from the Center for Disease Control said New Hampshire had the third highest rate of increase in suicides for kids between 10 and 24. We have the second highest rate or third highest rate of alcohol abuse among teenagers. A lot of that, Tom, is self-medication. It's driven by mental health problems. And I firmly believe that since more and more voices are joining this discussion, business people among them, law enforcement, our own attorney general, our own governor, members of Congress, I think the time is here. I think people are going to want to start talking about it. But just to give your listeners a visual, I went to a high school in our state, and I never asked this question. It's not my question to ask, but one of the students who introduced me asked this question when I finished speaking. He said, in this auditorium of high schoolers, if there's anyone here this morning who has a mental health problem, or someone you love, not someone you know, someone you love has a mental health problem, would you please stand up? There were over 500 kids in that auditorium. I would say 500 stood up. We had that business forum, Tom, at UNH that Delta Dental was involved in with Dartmouth. And one of the psychiatrists asked those 150 business leaders, same question. If you or someone you love has a mental health problem, raise your hand. And I would say almost all the hands went up, Tom.
Exactly. And what was really also really cool, John, I thought, was that the very renowned business leaders, and these just weren't local New Hampshire business leaders, but nationally recognized business leaders, they all expressed their personal stories dealing with mental health. So I think we've got the courage. I think we have to seize the moment. Back to Major Russ Conti. So, Major, we were talking offline that, you know, when you've looked at studies of violence, that, you know, a lot of times there's a mental health component. Tell us about that.
Yeah, if you look at the eyes of a law enforcement officer, obviously they deal with people when they are at the crisis level. So by that time, you know, somebody who is suffering from mental illness may have got to the point where the police are called. So they do deal with it at that level. Unfortunately, many of the times that there's critical incidents, it involves people that are in crisis from mental health, whether it be codependence for opioids, or it's just a history of mental health. Could be domestic problems, could be depression issues, a lot of things. So I think the one thing that we have to be completely aware of is that this is something law enforcement officers deal with on a very regular basis, and we have to assure that they are properly trained for it. We have significantly increased the number of hours of training at the Basic Police Academy, and we are in the process of making law enforcement officers making that training available even after an in-service kind of training. And I'm working with NAMI right now on the potential of a grant for those purposes. And I think it's just, if you look at those incidents, you look at whether it is severe crimes or it's addiction, officers involved in having to use any level of force, you're going to see a very high incident with mental health. And it really coincides with everything we've talked about already. This is nothing that should be really surprising to people. I think the thing that is best of where we are as a society right now is we are talking about it collectively at all levels. It is not just one group that's talking about it. And, you know, that is the way that there'll be change that's made. And whether we're just identifying, you know, what new changes you see in a friend or a loved one or a coworker, but also how it affects everybody and how it affects businesses overall and really how it affects public safety. So it's something I agree with the Justice and John Stevens, the time is right. The right people are looking at this. The right people are sitting down at the table and talking about it.
So, John Stevens, I commend you. You've kind of put it together with this year's symposium, which, again, is August 9th. So thank you for organizing it, and I'm sure we'll have a sellout. So people do have to register, correct?
They do.
Great. All right. So John Broderick, back to you. So the change director, knowing the five signs, you know, if you see someone that's looking agitated and so on and so forth, and you now have a react component to it, which is recognize the signs of emotional suffering, express support, and do, you know, and do follow-up. I see these RAC cards everywhere. So you think they've had it? I know they've had an effect in my company because we had a situation, new employee, brand new employee was out, and turns out that they had some issues at home. And I think 5 years ago, the employee still probably wouldn't be there, but now she is. So I think just being able to talk about it organically is key.
I think it is, Tom. I'll tell you, one of the most touching things that's happened to me, beyond kids sharing their stories, and by the way, in the last 2 months in my visits to high schools, six of the many kids who have come up to me have shared with me that they tried to kill themselves in the last 12 months. I mean, it's just stunning. But I was walking by the State House about 3 weeks ago, and there was a fellow there who just looked like he was suffering and with some mental health problems. And so I said hello to him as I was passing, and then he grabbed my sleeve on my shirt, and I stopped, and he said, "Are you Judge Broderick?" I said, "Yes, I am. Somebody has to be." And I said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Peter." I said, "Nice to meet you, Peter." He said, "I just want to thank you for what you're doing on mental health. It's way past time." And I almost cried. I thought, if this fellow who's suffering, I mean, visibly suffering, knows about the campaign and is bold enough to reach out and say that, I think it matters. One day I was driving to Keene. I stopped at a 7-Eleven store on the highway. It was 7 in the morning. There was a guy out in front of the store smoking a cigarette and with a store jacket on. So I was walking in, and he said, "Didn't I see you on TV?" I said, "I don't know. What was I on for?" He said, "Mental health awareness. It's time we started talking about that." And when he said that, I thought, wow, people are listening. And when you see people like John Stephen saying this is a worthy topic, or Russ, who's working for NAMI, and the police are looking at it, the commissioner's looking at it, the attorney general's looking at it, businesses looking at it, it's not that hard if we start talking. If we start doing that, we'll normalize it, and a lot of people will have their life changed. And I'm really optimistic, but I want to congratulate John Stephens for doing this. It's easy to say, hard to put together, and obviously it's going to be a success.
It will be, and judging from the conference that Dartmouth, Hitchcock, and Delta put on March 28th, there's a lot of energy around this. So, John Stephens, give us the date and the website again.
It will be conducted at UNH on Thursday, August 9th. The times are from 7:30 in the morning, starts with registration, to 3:30 in the afternoon. It will be held at the Memorial Union Building in the Granite State Room. And the website to sign up and register for the conference is www.ccsnh.edu/halias, H-A-L-I-A-S.
So thank you for organizing that. And Major Russ Conti, thank you for your service for the state police. And now you're taking all of that expertise and energy and working for NAMI, because at this last conference that John and I spoke at, the New Hampshire Police Association, very simple request. You know, they wanted a RAC card that had all of the programs and resources available. So we're working on that. And I know NAMI was well listed in that. So thank you for your work there.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Justice Broderick, I'll see you on the road again, I'm sure.
Yes, you will. Before we go off, Tom, I just want to say that there are many people that have stepped up on this campaign. You've stepped up constantly on this campaign, and you have been a real ally to it. And I know what you do at Delta Dental with your own employees. Your voice matters, Tom, in the state, and you're using it to help us. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. So, again, it's August 9th at UNH, the Halias Symposium. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.